The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Episode 629 of the show radio. We talk about AMD, a little bit of Modern Warfare 2, and Elon. Enjoy this episode. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show radio. It's episode 629, I believe. That's where we are. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Make sure you subscribe to the Show Radio podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Please review and rate the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This will give us a pulse on how you feel about the show, and hope you love the content. So we're going to focus a little bit on the AMD stuff. I know that was big news. AMD announces the 7900 XTX. And the XT graphics card. So that's going to be something that we mentioned at the very top. But Danielle, you threw me a curveball. So let's touch on this alternative Twitter social platform. And then we'll talk AMD.
So, yeah, I mean, if you've been on Twitter and you notice Elon Musk has bought Twitter. He's the official owner. Originally, he was just going to be on the board, and then he just made an offer, turned back. They're going to sue him, and then he went back, and I'm like, okay, I'll buy it. And so he's trying to, make it so just free speech on everything, which the way that some people want to interpret what free speech is, I believe everybody's entitled to their own opinions and should have the right to state what their opinions are, but to post hates and be incredibly rude and terrible, that's a whole other different thing. But the prediction here is that Twitter is just going to be this trash dump, which a lot of people like myself, I've been on Twitter for 12 or 13 years. I'm pretty sure my Twitterversary thing is going to automatically post any one of these days, because I know it was in November and I'm pretty sure it's 12 or 13 years. And that's a long time to be on a very specific platform. Like, I remember when you had to text in your tweets, but it's like a lot of people's way of, bringing in their audience, making money, getting, their product, whether it be something physical or themselves, out there. But with that, like, a lot of people are thinking about, maybe I should see other venues. So there's one that's actually kind of been picking up, which is this open source social media called Mastodon. I created an account, and it's just something for me to go and kind of learn again. And I'm very curious about this. And the thing is that I don't fully grasp yet is what is an open source social media platform.
Mm.
So if you're on there, you want to teach me. It's just Misty AGM. I make it very simple to find me on there, and I'm just kind of learning it and figuring it out. It has a lot of similarities to, like, what we what we kind of grown to know about Twitter. So at least it's like not such a bad learning curve.
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely check it out. mstdn.social. MST, D as in David, n.social. Yeah, I'll check it out for sure. 500 character limit. Is that, let me say, general purpose Mastodon server with a 500 character limit. All languages are welcome. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out for sure. Do you like it? Do you like what it presents to you in terms of use? Do you see yourself posting a lot of things on there? I guess these are some of the questions that I have.
I am not 100% sure yet. I mean, it's something new. And sometimes new is a little bit scary. I don't know how this, if it has an algorithm, doesn't have an algorithm, how do you find other people? I do know somebody that I follow on Twitter that put it out there, and I was like, you know what? Sure. I like the content that you post. You're a trustworthy person. I will go and give it a try, which it was Goldie Chan. She does strategy for warm robots and writes for introverts brands at McGraw-Hill. So, you know, why not give it a try?
Yeah,
that's
for
kind
sure.
Of where I'm at. So it's different, but familiar. Yeah, that 500 character limit thing is obviously something very, very new, because I think Twitter only recently expanded upon what passed their 140. I don't remember how many characters, but it surely is nowhere close to 500 character limit there. So everybody can write a short story without making threads. But yeah, I think it's something worth checking out to see like what you think. I see a lot of people, you know, migrating over, trying to figure it out, see what it's about. I just don't know how you find people.
Yeah, that's always the thing, right?
Yeah. So
no, that's cool.
It's interesting. It's definitely grown. I think there was several hundred thousand just this past week that signed up for Mastodon.
I mean, if it's catching traction, then that's always a good sign. Dig it.
But
I dig
clean
it.
And simple.
Clean and simple clean is good. Simple,
yeah. We'll see how it grows. See what it's about.
Not bombarded by ads?
Not that I see. Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
So in there... In their about section too, like the, you know, how every website has an about what they are. It says here, digital security on Mastodon, advice for those in conflict zones or other high risk areas. When using Mastodon in conflict zones or high risk areas, it is particularly important to be aware of how you protect your account and digital information. That's kind of like notable about, you know, certain countries that are currently in war here. But it also goes in to say social networking back in your hands. Sharing your thoughts has never been more convenient. Publish anything you want, links, pictures, text, a video on a platform that is community owned and ad free. So there's your answer there. Completely ad free. You have 500 characters. You can adjust the thumbnails of your pictures with focal points. You can use custom emojis, hide things behind spoiler warnings, and choose who sees a given post. If you messed it up, you can delete and redraft for quick corrections. Without an incentive to sell you things, Mastodon allows you to consume content you enjoy uninterrupted. Your feed is in chronological, ad-free, and non-algorithmic. You decide who you want to see. So that's interesting.
That's cool.
That is definitely a huge difference compared to a lot of social media, whether you be Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That is obviously a complete 180 about what they do. So, and I believe that's where that whole thing about, open source social media there. So it's definitely, it's interesting.
No, that's dope. That's dope. Appreciate you throwing me that curveball. Didn't know this was a thing, but I'll create an account and see what's going on with it. Any other thoughts on this before we go to the next thing?
Yeah, if you're on there, you want to teach me stuff, at Miss DJM. I have one follower. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's all good.
Giving me a platform that doesn't have an algorithm? Like what? Like that is...
What?
A breath of fresh air that I don't have to learn something new here. It's just obviously changing that mindset about how we're all kind of programmed to especially content creators, to learn the algorithms of the platforms we use, but to have one that it doesn't have that, it's goes against what we've been all kind of trained to do.
That's crazy. No, I dig it. I dig it. I'm looking at the website right now. It's pretty clean. And yeah, looking forward to checking this out for sure. So this past week, depending on when you're listening to this, you know, et cetera, we had a presentation from AMD. AMD announces 7900 XT X card and 79 XT graphics cards with FSR3, right? So I'm curious to know from your standpoint, how quickly are you considering upgrading to anything, whether an NVIDIA upgrade or another card upgrade, based on the fact that they're allowing this to be somewhat seamless and you don't have to change your power supply with these new cards. What did you think about anything that they announced, Daniela?
I'm going to be honest here. I have never used an AMD card in any of my builds. I'll be honest with that one right now. I don't have anything particularly against them. It just happened. It just somehow worked that way. I think I have this product loyalty thing, and it just happened that my first card always kind of not been. My first card was not an AMD. So I just stuck with what works with me. So I don't have anything against it. Just that's how it played out. But it's always nice to have, you know, that competition, to have something out there to give, you know, options. So I like that they were very honest that it wasn't a card that was going to be, you know, going against the 4090, that this card is actually built for the 4080 or to go against the 4080, but they weren't going to like put out specs there. They didn't want to advertise the competition, but they're very honest about that. And I have a 3080 in mind right now, which, yes, probably just getting older, but I love it and it works and it's solid. So their new card, AMD's new card, is probably just leaps and bounds better than mine. I'm happy with it, but I like having that option in there. And they're just always that competition to give people more affordable choices with just that same type of, you know, quality and product and what they want to do and what they want to experience, whatever that may be, whether it be for, you know, video editing, photo editing, video games, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I got excited, even though I didn't understand. Yeah, even though I didn't understand all the, you know, technical things that they were talking about. The FSR3 is supposed to like compete with the DLSS thing, right? That much I saw. According to this particular article here, it says, as the numbering scheme and price points indicate, these are high-end models designed to compete with NVIDIA's RTX 4090 and 4080. Whether that's, you know, going to be an exact, you know, competition based on the numbers, you know, time will tell. And even the pricing is super competitive based on it being a high-end model, and you're looking at either $1,000 or $900, $1,000 being the XTX and then $900 being the XT, right? So I watched 90% of the presentation because I came in, you know, like partly towards the beginning, and then watch, you know, the whole thing. And I was hype. I was like, why am I hype about this? Is it, does that mean like I'm a PC gamer now completely? Cause I got excited and I'm like, okay, so if I were to make changes, things. Huh?
It's the new and shiny things.
Yeah. But I was thinking about it. I was like, hey, you know, if I look at my current build now and I were to make, you know, some changes, I got a 3060 right now and the machine, if I look at the board, maybe I can add a 2-3 terabyte. What's that? You see, I don't even know the terminology, and I think this is great. You know, even though I've been enjoying PC for the last maybe 2-3 years, there's what is it, M2? That's a flat card, the flat hard drive.
Yeah.
Right. So I can enjoy because I know there's one slot in that for my board to add one of those things. So for me, like even now, I would consider upgrading the RAM. And then maybe adding a 2 terabyte, if I can fit that in my board for the M2, maybe at some point do an upgrade for the graphics card. But I just got excited because I understood at a very, very beginner level, you know, how these things affect what I do when I'm gaming on the PC. Maybe that's why I got excited, but I was like, okay, this is dope. This is, you know, technology moving forward. This is competition, healthy competition. And I'm just excited for the fact that we get to see things, you know, like this. And the other part too that I really like is a lot of the games that we've loved on the platforms, the consoles are coming over to the PC. And that's always a good thing when we're watching these things play out as well. So I like it. I like it. And I think it's good for the market. And maybe my next card will be AMD.
It wouldn't hurt to try. I'm not looking to get an NVIDIA or an AMD card anytime soon. I'm happy with mine, and I'll probably just run this one into the ground for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I dig it. I dig a couple of things we have, and then we'll wrap. You know, nothing major here for this show outside of the AMD. I think that was really big. I mean, I guess there are other things major as I'm thinking about it. You had Modern Warfare 2 going a 1 billion, right? In like 10 days or something like that, which is crazy when you think about it in terms of numbers. So if you're playing the game, you know it's dope. If you're watching what's going to happen in the near future, and it's going to be amazing for Call of Duty fans all over the world. So that's all I really have there. PlayStation Plus, are you still subscribed? Do you like what's happening with PlayStation Plus? Do you care? Like what's happening in that world for you in relation to, you know, subscription models and stuff like that?
Right now, I'm kind of neutral on it. Like, I'm still subscribed. I forget which tier I have. I'm pretty sure it's the top one. It was a lot, but I jumped on it with the day that it opened up. But like I said earlier, I have this whole product loyalty thing, and I've always loved PlayStation. So right now, I'm kind of neutral on it. Because I can honestly say that I'm not super impressed with it, not compared to what the Xbox's Game Pass offers. But they got such a huge head start on PlayStation or Sony for that it feels like Sony is just playing catch up on it. So I'm going to continue being subscribed to it till I feel like it really doesn't do me any service. Like, until I feel like I'm really not getting anything out of it. Right now, I'm okay. Am I super happy with it? Not exactly, but I'm not hating it. Their PC app could definitely be loads better. Like the Game Pass for PC, how they have it laid out, their GUI, their dashboard, everything is just... it's just perfect. It works. It doesn't, it needs to do. I love the way it looks. I love the way you search. It works for me. PlayStation's version, it's like bare bones. Like, can you spend a little bit more time on it? But it's not terrible at the same time. It's just not exactly user-friendly or, you know, visually friendly. But if we're talking about the service, I'm not quite 100% unsatisfied. So I'm sticking through with it, seeing where it goes. But I can't say that I can give it kudos above, you know, the Game Pass.
Yeah. So I'm trying to see how much I want to share here. Okay, so the bottom line for me is this, right? I haven't played PlayStation in a very long time, right? PlayStation 4, that's the last one that I have. And when I play things on the Xbox Game Pass, although I was against it in the beginning, right? Because I'm like, hey, you know, own all your games and stuff like that. And speaking from a very privileged position, because owning my games, I haven't bought a game in a long time. You know, we talked about that in recent months, right? So it's very interesting where I see individuals, they talk about what the PlayStation has and what the Xbox has on both platforms. But my thing is, like, they have options on both sides that people can enjoy. Now, the recent tiered stuff for PlayStation Plus, I haven't checked out. So I definitely want to see how things are set up. I want to load up the PlayStation 4 just to see it again, to see how things are line up on that end. But for Xbox, I think it presents an experience that I'm surprised that they improve the visual interface, right? Because at some point, I didn't like it at all, right? But the fact that they're making things extremely seamless across the board, whether you're looking at the PC stuff or you're looking at it from the actual console itself, I think is a great improvement from the UI experience for Xbox. So that's cool. The games that they have on there and what they're putting out, I think is pretty good. It gives you the option, you know, just like PlayStation, to check out different titles. And the air around Xbox has been really good, even though that there's this pending acquisition for the Activision thing. But overall, I think the air around it has been really good. And then we have to give props to PlayStation as well, because A God of War, Ragnarok is around the corner, right? I think that's coming out soon. So, or is it out already? I don't even know. That's how close I'm paying attention to it. So in real time, let me just check, because I'm trying to think for a second. Let me see. God of War, November 9th. Okay, so we're talking and recording on a day that it drops. Okay, fair. All right, so I think that they both have a lot going on. I think the air on the Xbox Game Pass, you know, ecosystem, cloud gaming has been interesting to watch how that's grown and how people are adopting it on different devices, whether it's handheld or something else. But I'm still, you know, checking out those things, you know, depending on what's on the actual platform. You know, for Gears, I was playing recently, you know, that was pretty cool on the cloud side of things, and the offering is pretty. It's pretty good, I think, for Xbox. So I got to give them that.
That is something I wanted to add on. What is it? Gears. Now that you bring it up, that is something we don't have on our dock right now. But Gears of War is coming to Netflix.
Mm-hmm. How you feel about that?
So I'm stoked. I'm stoked. I don't know what it's going to be marking. I don't know where this is going to go with the story. I hope the coalition adapts it really well, because if it turns into, like, if it goes towards the side of Resident Evil, where that production and story just doesn't even make sense or fit into the universe, I'm going to be heartbroken.
You know what? So, thank you for bringing this up. Definitely extremely important. I don't really think it matters where they go.
I think it does. It has to.
I don't think it does. I think if they grab the story from the first one, second one, and then the third one, they could do a lot with those three titles. You know, with Dom and the whole situation. And that, I mean, there's a lot that you can do there. The tension, you know, and then, you know, Marcus. And there's a lot you can do there.
If they stick with Dom and Marcus and creating a story with them, that's awesome. But like Resident Evil, this like season that they canceled and everything like that, I really wanted to try to like it, but it just kind of went this whole other way, especially like, oh, we'll bring Wesker. Everybody loves Wesker. He's a great bad guy. And I don't even know what they were deciding with that one. No, like they can't just make up any story. Like Gears of War has some great books that tells amazing stories to get you more into the universe and more into the characters and the environment. They can pull from that. They can pull from, you know, the comics. So it's...
It has to matter.
So Netflix is going to be adapting it to a live-action feature film and an adult animated series.
Okay, I'll be fair. You're the bigger Gears of War fan here, right? I really love Gears of War, but I think your fandom is like way more than mine. I think the reason I say I don't care where it goes is because any place they go with Gears, if it's very close to any of the games that I played, and I know you're not a fan of Judgment, I think they can land something really good. And I think that's how I'm looking at it right now. But I mean, that's really all I have there. I'm excited for Gears, and the fact that they're working closely with Coalition, I think is a great thing.
Well, I am going to agree with a lot of the Gears fans, 100%, that Dave Bautista needs to be, absolutely needs to be in this live action. He has to be. Like, he has to be Marcus Fenix. Like, I'm 100% on that bandwagon with all the other Gears fans. Like, I feel that there is no other better person to play Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. And then I wouldn't be surprised if they cast, is it Chris Hemsworth? The Thor guy. That's Chris, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they cast him for something. Or the Superman guy, the guy that's currently doing The Witcher. I don't know names, I just remember the people. Or the Superman guy, if they cast him for something. Or Trinity. Huh? Could repeat that?
You mean for Dom?
Yeah, I don't know who they would cast for Dom. I'm just saying, just having those individuals in the universe, I wouldn't be surprised if they get cast for something, is what I'm saying. I don't know who, but they are a lot of different soldiers, as you mentioned, with the books that add additional context to the Gears world. And that's another thing that I really don't hear people talk about a lot. I know you mentioned it because you're in the world more than most of the individuals that I know. But the Halo stuff gets mentioned with the books all the time. But I seldom hear people say, hey, Gears is dope. And plus the books, right? Which is, I'm glad you brought that up for the conversation. At any rate, I think it's going to be a good thing that Coalition is part of this and framing it in such a way that the Gears fans are going to be excited to see a live action. These are my thoughts.
I'm excited. Although it's probably not going to happen and I'm not going to see it for like 3 more years. I'm glad that it's in the making, and now I'm going to be really sad if for some reason they're like, oh, Netflix decided to cancel it in middle of production. Then I'll be sad. But the fact that there's going to be a live action film, an adult animated series with potential for more stories to follow, that is a great universe. Like, come on. I think it like checks all of the points for so many different people. You got the drama, you got the love story, you got the action, you got the monsters, you got the wars, you got everything. Please give me this. Give me the Delta Squad. Come on.
Yeah, that's going to be dope. That's going to be dope. Any other thing you want to mention? I know, well, we can say Elon. You want to mention Elon before we get out of here?
I mean, it kind of did at the beginning. I mean, that man's doing whatever he wants to do, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird things going on. I'm not paying for no verification. No $8. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I love Twitter. I definitely want to see where it's going to go. But we'll have to see. Twitter has done a lot for news and raising awareness and even Twitter Spaces and the fact that they may become a podcast app, all those things. But with how the changes are being made, and some people are excited for them and some people aren't, you know, especially if you are working there and things of that nature, we'll have to see how it pans out. That's all I got on Twitter.
I mean, it's, he already like did a lot of the staff at Twitter dirty, so I'm not completely jumping off of Twitter yet. I'm still going to be there. It's still going to be one of my primary until I figure out Mastodon and how I want to use that. But for a lot of it, if you're going to be sticking with Twitter, you know, like I was saying earlier, he kind of wants it for this like really open, unfiltered platform here. A lot of what you see is based off of like what, you know, recommendations of based off of who you follow. So you can curate your timeline to just be just that, like, you know, gaming, following, you know, different companies, creators, streamers, YouTubers, and just having it focused on that. Now, if you are kind of out there and you post your opinions on, you know, very political things, very out there things that people like to have strong opinions on, that's going to come to you no matter what, regardless of Elon had it or not. It's just that now the fact if you report it as being, you know, harmful or whatever it is, you can't guarantee that Twitter is going to do anything about it. That's the only downside right now that I see so far. I know a lot of people, even though most of the people I follow on here are content creators, a lot of them are definitely saying, like, it's very interesting how he's pushing this all out, you know, just before Election Day, which happened to be today, at the time of this recording. And just like this whole conspiracy thing, I do not go down that rabbit hole. I don't do conspiracy. I don't dive into those things. I take things, whatever I see for fact and truth, and I make my opinion based off of that. Yeah. I'm still going to be on the platform. I won't say for how long. I'm just going to write it out and see what happens. Kind of like with PlayStation. Don't know. Just going with the flow.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. Final thoughts, and then we'll close out.
Ah, man. Is it the holidays yet? I feel like I've been working so much that I can't, like, the holidays don't even feel like it's here. I did get to see the lunar eclipse last night, though. That was really nice. But apparently, I guess tonight's the blood moon and last night was just a lunar eclipse. I thought they were both one and the same. My moon was kind of red. I saw red blood moon photos, so I guess I'm going to be outside looking at the moon again. That's as exciting as my life gets lately.
No, we're almost there. We're almost there. We're maybe 2 weeks, give or take, from, you know, gathering around with family, if that's, you know, what you do, you know, during that time to celebrate togetherness and community and food and all that stuff. So we're very close to that is what I'm thinking, my brain and words right now. But yeah, so that's what we wanted to cover today. For this episode of The Show Radio, definitely check us out on the Spotify's Apple Podcast. Make sure you rate and review the show. That's definitely appreciated. Tell a friend about the show for sure. And we appreciate you taking the time to listen to the latest and greatest in the news. I mean, you know, just a quick thought, and then I'll definitely close out. You have some delays, of course, which we didn't talk about. You have the Warframe being delayed till 2023. And that's one of the things I was actually looking forward to. But at any rate, this has been a dope show. 629. Daniela, where can they find you?
You can find me on all social media, now adding on Mastodon at MissDJM. And where can they find you, Andrew?
You can find me at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.